Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
A couple of texts on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston in response to me saying, you guys are crazy to say that, one, the Astros got an A or a B for their offseason, and two, that the Astros might be better than they were last year. Yes, they added Jose Abreu. They also lost Justin Verlander. And if we're talking about win totals for this coming season, I think that's a best way to judge whether or not the team is better, worse, or the same. The odds of them getting 106-plus wins when they're not playing as many American League West teams and without Justin Verlander pitching on another worldly level, the odds are lower that you will have 106 wins this coming season. And to say that this is a B offseason or an A offseason, like, I'm sorry, I just don't feel like you understand how grades work. Some text, 713-780-3776. By your logic, do you know Verlander is for sure going to be Cy Young Verlander? No. L. Well, why would I expect him to not be what we saw last year? What, because he pitched poorly in the postseason? He's going to be terrible next season? I would imagine he will pitch pretty well. I imagine that he will be missed. You got to figure out between Urquidy, Garcia, and I guess Hunter Brown, if one of those guys is capable of being that dominant. And the odds are probably no, because we're talking about one of the best pitchers ever. They lost him. So you get a little bit worse on that department. You did out Jose Abreu. I get it. Another text. A B rating is the correct rating. What more do you want them to do? The guy's got an MVP first baseman. But that's all they did. That's all they did. The outfield depth is a problem. The amount of right-handed bats in the lineup is a problem. 713-780-3776. Looks like I kicked a hornet's nest out there. We got Mark leading off on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Mark, what's up?
How you doing? Well, you asked for someone to explain it, so I'm going to explain it. The Astros won the championship. In any sport, when you win the championship, your goal the next year in the offseason, is not to hemorrhage all your talent. You have your guys cashing in on the ring. They're chasing money and whatever. Now, the Astros lost Justin Verlander. They lost the Peyton Manning of baseball. They lost the regular season dominator, who has had, you would have to admit, a very disappointing and actually quite lousy postseason pitching record as an aging pitcher. The Astros, if they replace Justin Verlander with a 500 pitcher, an average pitcher, who pitches average in the postseason, the Astros roster is going to make the postseason, and they would actually be a better team.
But see, here's the problem, Mark, with the better team part. Because you're going to be relying in more crunch time situations on either Jose Urquidy, who does have good World Series numbers on his resume, or Luis Garcia, or Hunter Brown. And I get it. Verlander's had postseason issues, but are we to believe that just because Verlander's been as bad as he's been in the postseason, that any of those guys stepping in are definitely going to be better? Especially when we're just comparing what Verlander is compared to those three guys. Resumes in the regular season, I also think, are important. And if we are talking about a team being better next year, shouldn't we be looking at the regular season win total at the end of this too? And I think that without Verlander, you're probably going to lose a couple more games, which, again, it's not the end of the world. But if we're talking about this being a successful offseason, that's when you give a team an A or a B. I think it's been C. It's been satisfactory. Nothing wrong with being satisfactory, by the way. I feel like their A and B grade means that they got significantly better in doing that. And adding Abreu is great, an MVP guy at first base. But I don't think that it has dramatically vaulted you to another playing field. And I think that's why you're giving out an A, definitely, let alone a B. Appreciate the phone call from Mark, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text as well. I just don't get the grading. I don't. Maybe this is a me thing. Gary's up next, 713-780-3776. What's going on?
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, it is a U. It is a U deal. I mean, like you said, you're getting the text and the call, and we all got a good pulse on it. You said they got that grade, that A, that MVP guy. Verlander, it's just like the Tom Brady effect. Eventually, you age out. And pitching is more taxing than throwing a football with besides the contact sport. But, I mean, at some point, Jepson is bound to decline. And if we're doing the if factor on one side, we can do the if factor on Justin Verlander this year. We don't know what he's going to be. I just know that I trust the guys in that room, the coaches, the managers and all, who know the game, who have a pulse of it. And I think the sensationalism of you want everybody to go agree with your C. No, that's you. Everybody has their opinion, but an A and a B, they're spot on.
It is weak grading. It is participation trophy generation stuff. It's weak grading. It's satisfactory is fine. Like, that wouldn't be an issue. But A or B means that they are significantly better. You mentioned with Verlander, too, like you brought up Tom Brady. Where do you think the Patriots would like to be after the worst play in NFL history? Do you think that they would still like to have Tom Brady where they gave up on him, what, like 4 years ago?
Tom Brady is struggling. Not the struggling Tom Brady this year.
Oh, okay. 3 years later, though, Gary. 3 years later, though.
Like, he would be struggling.
He probably would be, but I think they would have liked the Super Bowl that he won the year after he left.
No. But the age. Oh, that's the year after he left. We're talking about this year.
But it's 3 years older. Imagine, Gary. Hang on. I'll let you finish. But you're letting Verlander walk to a team that you could potentially play in the World Series. And, hey, look, maybe you get to face him and you get to do all the things that all these teams seem to do against Justin Verlander in the playoffs. But at the same time, hang on, Gary, let me finish. At the same time, moving on from Verlander means that one of those three guys is going to step into a bigger role during the regular season. He's going to be relied on more. He's going to have more appearances. And in a season where you're playing less American League West teams, the odds of you having 106 wins or more are lower. And I feel like if we're going to give the Astros an A or a B, we're saying that the Astros are going to be better than they were this past season or maintain 106 wins. And, I 106 wins is a lot to ask for any team in baseball history. That's something the Astros have only done one other time. It was 2019 where they won 108. Like, that's why I'm looking at it from this perspective. So I'm just giving them a C, but I get mad with the A and the B grades because I feel like we're being too generous. Anyway, Gary, you can continue.
I'll cap it off. I'm not looking for 106 wins. I know, and you said earlier, you're saying that I think they're going to be in the LCS again. Well, if you give me that, you are still a great team in baseball. The wins, whether you get 106 or you get 95 and get in the playoffs, you have the dominant team. You've been there and done that. And so if you're telling me I don't think they're going to get 106 wins, who cares? But on the other hand, you're saying, I think they're going to be where they need to be. I will take that, and everybody in Houston will take that again, my man.
Okay. I appreciate the phone call, Gary. And we all will take it. I'm just saying, I'm looking at these grades right now, and I think that everyone's being not as critical as they should be. Just because we love this team and we, for the most part, trust everything they're doing, though I think healthy skepticism is warranted when it comes to the front office, I feel like because we're a city like this, we have a higher standard. And to say that they had an A offseason is bleeping crazy. To say they had a B offseason, I think, is a stretch.
Yes, the standard has to be, did they get better? Not, are they still good?
Right.
Did they, that's 106 wins and a World Series win, are they better now? That's the standard.
Cypress Jeff says, kind of a stupid topic, really, but I guess you got to talk about something on the radio. Okay, first off, bleep off with that. Second off, yeah, I saw this online and it triggered me. I just don't understand some of these people that grade so easily. And this is an always thing with me. If you will look at any sort of grade that's given out on a blog or something like that in the off season, everyone's always scared to give a C or below. A, B for this off season. Get out of here. You're out of your mind. And we're talking about in a poll with like 3,500 people voting, 92% of people felt like they had a B or an A grade for this offseason. That is insane. 713-780-3776. Lots of people want to weigh in on this. Do the Astros deserve a B or an A for this offseason? Are the Astros better after this offseason, now that it looks like it's drawn to a close with Michael Brantley aboard and maybe Yuli Gurriel coming back into the fold? I don't even know. Please try to explain it to me. You're going to have a hard time doing it, though. This is way too generous of a grading. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Yeah, we're talking about grades. We're talking about report cards for the Astros this offseason. I just think an A or a B are completely bleeping bonkers. Is that hyperbolistic? I suppose it could be, but I feel like an A or a B means someone was exceptional. A C means you did what you were supposed to do. D's get degrees, but that leaves a lot to be desired, and an F is a fail. Not saying it's a D, I'm not saying it's an F. I'm just saying they did the satisfactory job. That's it. Bringing Verlander back, given your pitching depth, wouldn't have made a lot of sense with the money that he just got from the Mets, right? Maybe some of those contracts out there, or Wilson Contreras was out of your price range, or an Andrew Benintendi or something like that. But can we be objective here? Is it that hard? And again, I'll ask, like, what kind of school did you go to where a A or a B is satisfactory? Like, it's supposed to be special. Yeah, I'm being a cake eater right now. Don't care. Okay? This is how I got into this position. Going to all those elite schools on the Northeast Coast. And in Florida, too. I actually did go to a school in Florida. So you could probably look at me and say, oh, Paul, you went to a school in Florida. Are you sure you can read? And I would understand that little jab at the Shorecrest Preparatory School Chargers. Yeah, maybe. But I'm just saying, like, give harder grades. They got a C. They should get a C. And anything above that, I think, is bonkers. Really, bonkers. I'll say it again. B-O-N-K-E-R-S. I spelled it right because I always got A minuses. There you go.
I was really hoping you'd miss
that. That would have been funny, wouldn't it? from Ocho Texto, our guy. And a couple of people brought up similar points. Justin Verlander's regular season success was important because he saved the bullpen by giving the team 7-plus innings regularly. 6 innings a lot, too, though. The only other starter to do that was Framber. Without JV, you're likely to lean on the bullpen more next season unless one of the others steps up his innings per game. I agree. And Waka Flock says, biggest concern losing Verlander is the innings he ate up. Bullpen will be taxed by starters, only going 5 2/3. It was healthy because it wasn't used that much. Not having burnt out relievers was a huge part of the success. Some other comments. These people are agreeing with me. Astros offseason is a C. I expected more to get stronger. I can't agree with an A or B rating. If they picked up another name in the rotation, maybe. I don't think they needed to, by the way. Like, you're allowing more from Garcia, from Urquidy, and you're hoping Hunter Brown steps up. But no, they didn't. Agreed, C at best. A equals got better. B equals stayed the same. C equals got worse. D, F equals WTF happened. I don't think B staying the same. I feel like B, you're adding something. And I feel like C should be maintaining. Now, I don't know, maybe if we're in another market and we're used to, like, the, you know, if it's the Miami Marlins or something like that, okay. Yeah, a B for staying the same. Hell, an A for staying the same. You know, like,
we didn't trade our best player.
Right, you didn't sell the whole team after winning the World Series, which they've done twice. It is a BS that they have 2 World Series. The Marlins have as many World Series as the Astros. And they've been good for, what, like, 3 years in their history? It is insane.
They've made the playoffs twice. Both times they won the World Series.
They've only made it twice total?
No, they made the World Series, or they made the playoffs in 2020.
In the expanded year. Yes. Oh my God, that is ridiculous. 713-780-3776 to call it, to text it to. Thomas has been waiting on hold on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, Paul. Well, disclaimer. I mean, you know, Houston fans, we've historically, when our teams are good, we had to fight the national media, so that I think we have the short drunk dude syndrome right now, and so we want to protect our you know, these A's and B's. But the truth is, going into the offseason, it was helpful to get JV, but the important thing was getting some sort of combination of hitting catcher, DH, or a left fielder to spell Yordan.
Yes.
And look, we haven't done that.
Yes.
Jorge Abreu is, yes. Jose Abreu is, yes, that is good. But then what happened to Contreras? What happened to Christian Vasquez? And we're settling for Michael Brantley, who probably won't be ready for the beginning of the season or will get injured at some point. So I agree with you. It's passing. We, you know, solidified the bullpen. You know, it's, we're not panicking because we do have six starting pitchers. But yes, I agree with you. We tread water. We didn't do what we needed to do to win the offseason. So I agree with you, man.
And Thomas, the last point you said too, it's winning the offseason. This isn't your priority, you know? But I think to the first part of Thomas's call, where, yeah, we got a lot of people that are wearing Astros colored glasses and we are a little bit defensive. And you mentioned the national media with all the questions about the sign stealing scandal and all that stuff. All of that is totally fair and granted, but we're talking amongst ourselves right now. We are grading by our own rubric. Look at me using big words, showing off that big brain of mine. Hey, did you know that Paul Gallant took a bunch of AP classes in high school? But we're at an AP level here. It is a different standard that we hold ourselves to. This is what happens when you are in front of greatness. The greatness becomes a part of you. And all of a sudden, you become a baseball savant. A, B, no. It's a C, and it's fine. You would like a little more. A C is probably going to get them back to exactly where they were last year. But I feel like we could be a little harsher with the grading. That's it. And I really think that 92% of people saying A or B is bleeping crazy. That is nuts. I was surprised. It was like 6% gave him a C. Six? It's not, C is not bad. It's not. Like, people look at a C like it's an F these days. No, it's not. An A and a B are supposed to be exceptional. D and F is where it's bad. That's where you don't want to be. C, I'm not telling people to settle for a C, but a C is not bad. And I don't get this with grading. Alex has a thought on the Astros, 713-780-3776. Alex, what's up?
So, like, I can understand saying no to the A. As far as the B, I feel like that's a bit of a stretch to take that away from them. You got to take into account that Jose Abreu is 4.5 points higher WAR than Yuli. And as a player that's going to play every day, I'm assuming he's probably going to play probably like 140 games this season. I feel like that's a little bit more impactful than Justin Verlander. And not to mention, I think a lot of people are not taking into account that this is probably going to be a six-man rotation again. So even if Hunter Brown, let's say he's going to get 25 starts or something like that, if Hunter wins 11 games, 12 games, that's good enough. That's definitely good enough.
I agree.
And anybody who's talking about what Justin's going to do in the playoffs, it's a moot point. It's neither here. It's irrelevant to us now. That doesn't matter. So who cares what he's going to do in the playoffs?
I'm with you, Alex, because I think the question is about what they'll be this regular season. You know, because the playoffs are kind of random. I mean, there are some teams that made the playoffs last year, specifically in the National League. Like, you know, we thought the Dodgers would probably be there at the end of it. They weren't there. The Braves, same thing.
Yeah, that's all very valid points. And not to mention, we don't really know what's going to happen, how everybody's going to react to these new rule changes. But I really do think that as clutch as Yuli has been for us in the past, having a guy that's definitely, and honestly, he had 132 hits this season. I don't know where the hell they came from. I don't really remember seeing them. But having a guy who's going to be able to impact the lineup like Abreu will is going to be a really big deal. And I don't know, man. This lineup got really long. It really did. If they had picked up maybe a legitimate center fielder or, I don't know, that's really all it is I think a position player. I don't think we really lack anything on the pitching staff. So that's just my stance.
Appreciate the phone call, Alex. Good stuff. I think to Alex's points about Abreu, Abreu conceptually could be awesome. I do want to bring this up, though. 36 next month. Turns 36 on the 29th of January. And if you have taken a look at his numbers, the power numbers have started to go down. Is that to say that they're gone down forever? I don't know. But he's becoming, I think, a little bit more of a contact hitter than a masher over the last like season and a half or so. Now maybe, you know, being in the juice box, maybe that reawakens it, you know? But I think that that's not a guarantee. And we all thought Trey Mancini was going to come here into the juice box with that weird park that he was playing with at the Camden Yards, and like he stunk. And I'm not saying he's going to be that, but we were all pretty excited about the Mancini trade, weren't we? Sometimes these moves don't work out the way that you want it to. And I'm not saying that's likely with Abreu. I'm just saying there are some reasons to question that deal as well. I think you're in good shape for this coming season. I wonder about the 2 years afterwards. And I do wonder about that contract. I think the Montero contract was bad. And if we're talking about an overall grade and as far as getting better, a C is fine. There's nothing wrong with a C. An A or a B, though, I just don't understand it. But anyway, we've squeezed a lot out of that conversation. I appreciate you guys joining me on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's also how you text in. And by the way, guess what, guys? It's time for free stuff. Join us as we celebrate Christmas a little early with the season of giving. Look at this. We're giving away CBD American Shaman gift baskets filled with over $200 in CBD products. Hey, Shaman, got any extras? Got any extras of these? For a friend. If you're experiencing discomfort or aches, you need to give CBD American Shaman a try. CBD American Shaman has products for relief, relaxation, and recreation. Ooh, caller number 3 to 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. You win a custom gift basket courtesy of CBD American Shaman. And tune in all month long for our season of giving. And don't forget to join us December 23rd, this Friday, at Nick's Place for our annual Christmas party. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I wouldn't say that's a conservative approach. I thought that was the approach that we should use at the time to win the football game. So when you, the ball was where? Around the 50 or whatever. You know, there's a lot of plays. I can't remember every one the way y'all can. But in the moment, I thought the way the game was going, I thought that's what we should do. And in his 8 seconds, that's what we thought we should do. We're all in agreement. I wish it was just as simple as go for it there and everything is fine. It's a lot more than that. Did you see how the game ended? That's exactly the position we wanted to be in. There, right at the end, with an opportunity to make a play there at the end to win the football game. We can live with that.
But the play you could have done was go to see if you could get 16 yards with 8 seconds left to potentially kick a long field goal to win the game. Or at halftime, 4th and 1, instead of punting, going for it there. The position you want to be in at the end of the game is not hanging around with a Kansas City team that played poorly, especially early on. Patrick Mahomes missed a couple of, I thought, gimmies. He still had a great game. But had he hit those gimmies, I mean, we're talking about an entirely different game. What do you have to lose? Nothing. The position you want to be in is to cover the spread? Like, that's kind of the vibe I got. There was just too much optimism to spin everything by Lovie Smith after the fact. Lovie also said that the Texans quarterbacks kept Houston in the game. Of course, a 30-24 overtime loss to the Chiefs yesterday. More Lovie Smith.
You know, Brooks, it was a tight game. So, we knew who the quarterback was on the other side of the field. So, I mean, our quarterbacks allowed us to stay right in there with one of the best teams in football. So the quarterback play gave us an opportunity to do that. We just need to finish. Again, if we had finished the way I hope we would today, I just think a lot of these questions wouldn't really matter an awful lot. We didn't, so they come up. We're not playing as well as we need to at any position. I know the quarterback has been position has been talked about a lot, but there's a lot of improvement we can make throughout.
there's nothing worse than hearing from a guy fielding a bunch of questions. Well, if things had gone differently, none of these questions would have mattered. Yeah, you know what? I bought a lottery ticket, Mega Millions, because it looks like it's close to $500 million on Saturday. And you know what? If I won the lottery with this ticket, you know what would happen? I'm probably retiring. You know? If I win $400 million, I mean, what am I going to do with it? No, I'm going to retire and blow it all and probably end up dying way earlier than I need to. But that didn't happen. If that's the funny thing, like, oh, well, you know, if X, Y, and Z, come on. And don't try to sell me on using two quarterbacks. Like the Jeff Driskel stuff, it was fun for the Cowboys game. They are bad when he's on the field. They should have realized that early in the game. And I mean, what? When they used the two quarterback package, the first two drives, they had 14 yards. They had 4 yards on 5 runs out of the look. They were averaging 2.5 yards a play with the multi-quarterback look. And 6 yards on 10 plays where Driskel was in versus 7.4 yards a play when Mills was in. They put Driskel in for a first and goal at the Chiefs 10. They overcame it and scored a touchdown despite Driskel like running out of bounds. And they put Driskel in for Mills at the Chiefs 9. He lost a yard on his own read. They end up having to kick a field goal there. Like, I'm tired of the optimistic spin zone, you know? I would rather Lovey just give me a two-word answer, make a bunch of grunting noises like he's Bill Belichick and make it awkward for everybody than telling me like, hey, we're close. It's so close. No, you can't do that anymore. In October, that works. It does not work now. Oof. There was something very cool that took place early yesterday morning. I am not the biggest soccer fan out there, but I think everyone is in agreement when it comes to yesterday's World Cup final between Argentina and France, which Argentina won on penalty kicks ultimately. That is the best soccer game of all time. And I'm not going to act like I've seen enough soccer games to even put up a power rankings. And if there was another great game tomorrow, there's a good chance that I would say, yep, that's the greatest soccer game of all time. But to wrap up the World Cup with a game like that, where it was truly Mbappe on France and Lionel Messi on Argentina going back and forth, two of the best players in the world, Messi in what will likely be his last ever World Cup, having a goal, getting one of the penalty kicks as well. It was a phenomenal game. And I don't know if you guys saw the drone footage of the party going on in Buenos Aires. Holy crap. That's got to be a lot of fun. And good for Messi. I mean, Messi, according to many, is the best player of his generation, if not the best player ever. And he finally has a World Cup to back it all up. I think maybe when it comes to international soccer, I don't know if a guy winning a World Cup on a national team, which of course has a lot of other great players as a part of it, to actually win it, I don't know if it's fair to give like a soccer player the World Cup trophy the same way it would be for a quarterback in the NFL. It does seem like it's a little bit overstated, but as someone who has always casually enjoyed watching Lionel Messi play, it was, I think, great to see him win this World Cup, even though I was rooting for France. Rooting for the blood. French-Canadian. Je me souviens. Allons les enfants de la patrie. Mbappe, by the way, I know he's 23. He looks like he's 40. He is the oldest-looking young person. He looks about the same age as Lionel Messi. He just looks so mature and weathered.
He is. We joke about Christian Pulisic being the LeBron of soccer. I think Mbappe might actually be the LeBron of soccer in that, A, he looks much older than he is, and he's always kind of looked like he's looked his exact age, or he looks exactly how he's looked since he was 19.
Yeah.
And then you also throw in the fact that he basically single-handedly like kept his team in the game.
Seriously.
It's more than I've ever seen a soccer player do. Like, he almost single-handedly won the World Cup for France.
By the way,
and then he loses like LeBron.
Yeah. Well, hey, LeBron did win a couple. He's not like Jerry West. Jerry West having the clutch player of the year award. You're 1-8 in the finals, loser. 1-8. Go get pissed off about the HBO drama which makes you into a cartoon character. Go get mad about that. It actually made you a more likable character than you are in real life, you cantankerous old man. God, most clutch player award. I hate the Lakers. Of course they find a way to foist their way into it. 1-8. Anyway, side note.
Do you think Jerry West is listening to this? Being like, I love this World Cup talk. Wait, what? What just happened?
I hope so. Just curveball. Just taking a drive by Jerry West on the way back to talking about the World Cup. Also, Emiliano Martinez is the star of the World Cup. Okay, so early on, and I think it was against Croatian penalty kicks, the guy is really good at stopping penalty kicks. I don't know what the degree of difficulty is for a goalkeeper compared to another goalkeeper when it comes to that, but like, he is outrageously cocky in that situation, and it's hilarious to watch. Like, he's talking trash. He's like walking up to the player. I think he kicked one of the balls into the stands that France was supposed to use. Like, he's doing all sorts of intimidation tactics. And then afterwards, when he gets the World Cup trophy, he put it down where his pee-pee is supposed to be and started flopping it around, the trophy, like it was his member. This guy's the man. I love him. Like, just the perfect epitome of what Argentina is. I love that guy. Emiliano Martinez, you are welcome on this show at any point. And honestly, like, you don't even have to speak any English. I just want to see your facial expressions. That guy's awesome.
Did you see the clip of him? It was in one of the, like, Copa Americas during COVID, where it was, like, an empty stadium, so they could just, like, the players could just yell at each other and it was getting picked up at the, by
yeah.
the mics. And he was just talking so much trash.
It's awesome. I didn't know that this happened in soccer. I thought soccer was kind of like gentlemanly outside of all the outrageous flopping that goes on. I thought like trash talk doesn't happen in soccer, especially because you have two countries that are playing each other where I imagine there's not a common language barrier here. Like, I doubt that a lot of French folks speak Spanish. I doubt that a lot of Argentinians speak French. You know, like, I doubt it. Like, they're probably speaking entirely foreign languages to one another. Maybe they're not. Maybe there's a couple of players that have, like, played internationally on one team or the other. But this is the one sport where you would think that trash talk, like, kind of goes by the wayside because of the language barrier. Nope, not with this guy. And you know exactly what he's saying, too. Like, he's dropping hard P words out there. You know, the one that, like, Mexico always gets in trouble for. Fantastic. I love that guy. He's amazing. More him. Like, Lionel Messi, cool. But that guy, I want someone to get a GoPro, attach it to him, and let's see what happens over the course of his night out. Is he single?
We now go to Mic'd Up with Emiliano Martinez.
Emiliano Martinez, girlfriend. Let's look this up. Ooh, okay. He does have a girlfriend. Is he married? He has been married, and they have a son and a daughter. Okay, so he's not going to be going too wild out in the streets. Although maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe he gets a hall pass because he won the World Cup. I don't know. Seems like he would be likely to take up on that hall pass. I'm sorry to surmise about the guy, but the guy's amazing. I love him. Anyway, Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, before we wrap up this show, there was a good thing that happened in Houston sports this weekend. In fact, I would give that, which we saw on Saturday, the Cougs' performance against UVA, I would actually give that an A? I'll tell you why next. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Mac Hollins out on defense. He's all the way back. As Stevenson.
Well, is anyone going to.
Is outside the 30, flips it back. Stanford band nowhere in sight.
Uh-oh.
It's picked off.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Incredible. Chandler Jones takes it in and wins the game for the Raiders.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. there isn't that much I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. You know, all I wanted was to not have the most embarrassing play in NFL history ever on my team's resume. That's it. It's not that much to ask for. I think that's what anyone who's still watching the Texans is thinking to themselves every single Sunday. Just don't do that. That's the worst play ever. Ever.
Oh!
Stop, Sean. Okay?
Oh!
No. Stop. I don't want to hear a man making noises like that played right after I hear the audio call of, again, the worst play in the history of the NFL. Just a mind-numbingly stupid play from the organization that's made a name for itself over the last two decades by not doing that. Hey, they might be boring, but they don't do that. They just don't screw up. All-time screw up. Oh, boy. You know who didn't screw up, though, on Saturday? And I want to give them a lot of credit for it. Especially after the way that the week before they lost to Alabama. Cougs were up, 16 points in the second half on Alabama. They have the number one record in the country. You're really feeling good. And then down the stretch, they got into foul trouble, and Alabama kept on sending them to the free throw line, and they kept on missing. They were 12 of 22. So Saturday against Virginia, you're watching them, and as the game gets closer to the end, you're like, oh, damn. I know that they have the lead, but Virginia has barely been called for any fouls in this second half, so they had the opportunity to send the Cougs to the line over and over again and force them to actually make free throws, which they weren't able to do. And I got to give them a lot of credit. In that crunch time spot on the road against a very experienced recent national champion Virginia team, the Cougs delivered 11 to 13 from the free throw line. That's awesome. And I think there are some things that the Cougs maybe would be a lot better served by playing in the Big 12 against, to actually go up against a team like Virginia that can move the ball around the way that they did. They had open looks. They just missed a lot of their shots from outside. But the way that the Cougs finished Saturday's 61 victory over Virginia is one of the reasons that you should be looking at this team and realizing that this is the one watchable product in town. Just sucks that they're not going to be playing any interesting teams the entire remainder of the regular season. The AAC is a boring conference. No offense. But the guy that really, I felt, stood out at the end of this game for the Cougs, Jairus Walker. Good God. So, with 4:41 to play, he hits a three after a nice pass by Reggie Chaney. Your, hey, I can do everything except for shoot. He's like your all-hustle guy. And then you go with about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. Walker has a beautiful pass to Jamal Sheed for a layup. He finds Tremont Mark for a three-pointer as well on two great passes. And then he makes this fadeaway jumper that he should not have taken. But it was beautiful. 6'8", 240 pounds, and making big plays down the stretch. And the rest of the way after the Cougs, after that jumper, which I felt like was the end of the game, with 1:45 to play to give them an 11-point lead, they hit all the free throws that they needed to the rest of the way. Great performance. Great bounce back for the Cougs, and it just sucks that you're not going to get to see them play against anyone good for a while. But that's what happens when you're in the AAC. We are so, so close. So the Cougs are back up to number three. Purdue is number two. Excuse me. Purdue is number one. UConn, formerly of the AAC, number two in college basketball. But how about them Cougs? Anyway. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's wrap things up with Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
You have a text from Ocho, our guy. Paul, I temper my enthusiasm for the Cougs because they need shooters, man. Defense alone does not win championships. That was proven last year against Villanova, where they defended well but went 1 of 20 from 3. Also, Marcus Sasser is the most overrated player of the year candidate in college basketball. I don't know if we're going to go that far because I would have to actually watch all college basketball these days with Syracuse being what they are. I have a hard time wanting to. But they do need to be better from outside. They got enough against Virginia. I wish that they played better teams for the entirety of a regular season because the talent discrepancy that they will face going from this AAC conference schedule where you have a couple games against Cincinnati who you always feel like is going to be good. Maybe Wichita State's decent. I don't know. Memphis is decent sometimes. I don't know. You're going to go from that to playing good teams in the Sweet 16, and are you going to be adequately prepared? That's why it's going to be great when the Cougs actually get into the Big 12. Garbage time. Time. All right, guys. Well, I saw this moment take place at the end of a game between the Grizzlies and I'm not 100% sure who they were playing, but Ja Morant was ejected for talking to a fan, and it never looked like things got that escalated. Here's what the play-by-play broadcast of the call sounded like for the Memphis Grizzlies TV network.
Even if you don't fully push the person, just seeing your hands, and then they jump, their body just a little bit goes forward. It's an easy call.
And Ja Morant's just been kicked out of the game. Ray Acosta, two technicals against Ja Morant.
Yeah, but something must have happened with a fan on the side because the Grizzlies are all talking about that he was talking with a fan.
Yeah, Ja Morant is pointing at the fans in the corner that apparently said something to him.
And now a technical foul on Dylan Brooks. This is getting out of hand.
Yeah, this is not being well handled at all. Man.
Come on, man.
We haven't been paying that much attention to the NBA this season, but one of the common themes has been that referees have been giving out technical fouls left and right for very minor occurrences, and that one should not have been given. I think a player should be allowed to yap back and forth with a fan. If the fan wants to open up the can of trash talk, the player should be allowed to go right back at him. Yeah, it's on TV, but I don't think that the player should have to entirely shut up. I would say don't assault the fan. I would also say don't get the fan ejected. I think going back and forth with the fan is good. But that's just me. That's going to wrap up today's edition of The Paul Gallant Show. Make sure that you subscribe to The Paul Gallant Show podcast. It's on Apple Podcasts. It is also on Spotify. And that you're staying watching on Twitch all day long. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, our callers, our texters, and tweeters, and very easy graders on today's Paul Gallant Show. The Killer Bees are up next with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. Peace.
Oh, no.
Unbelievable.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.